Yeah. Love that song. That's an oldie but a goodie. Hey, thanks for coming tonight. First Wednesday worship in November. How many of y'all ready for Thanksgiving turkey? Yeah, come on. Dressing. Green beans. Candy ham. With all that brown sugar on it. Come on. Some macaroni and cheese. Y'all ready to go eat right now? How about that? How about that, what's that? Sweet potato casserole with marshmallows all over that? That's just dessert, man. That's all that is. Sweet potatoes. There's no, man. Hey, I want to speak to you just for a minute tonight. I'm excited. Will just talked about Friday night. I'm so excited about Friday night, Saturday, all day. Sunday is going to be awesome. We're starting a brand new sermon series on Sunday called Tipping Point, and both at Lockhart and in San Marcos. And I think it's going to be a transformational series for many, many people here, Tipping Point. How about Mind Monsters? Y'all get anything out of Mind Monsters the last month? So good, wasn't it? So good. Mike and Irene up here on the front row from the mission field of Lockhart. Oh man, Lockhart's going great. San Marcos is going great. Isn't it awesome to be a part of a church that's just alive and on fire and just exciting? The students had an awesome night on Monday on Halloween night. They just dressed up like all kind of crazy things and worshiped God and had fun. Ate kettle corn and cotton candy, and it was a good time. Turn with me in the Bible to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, in the 7th verse, and I wanna tell you this story. It's one of my favorite little vignettes of the Bible. Very, very interesting story that doesn't get a whole lot of sermons about it. There's not a whole lot of sermon series about Acts 20, verses 7. I see Mac over here. If anybody sees him looking at ESPN app or anything like that, let me know. Because quite possibly the Cubs are playing. But it's 1-0, okay? That's your student pastor right there that's on the internet. All right. We're going to be out by the fifth inning, so y'all can go home and watch. That's the best. In baseball, do you watch innings 1 through 4 anyway? I mean, I turn it on about the eighth inning. That's good enough for me. I mean, there's no use in watching that first 3 hours. I mean, come on. All right, so Acts, the 20th chapter, the 7th verse, is a very interesting story that happened in this brand new church, the Church of Acts. So it says, on the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. And that's what we did tonight, first Wednesday night of the month. It says, the first day of the week, we gather with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Y'all are spoiled. Do you know that? You are so spoiled. See, I'm telling you, you're going to be out by the fifth inning. He talked till midnight. And he was just like on point 73 of this message right here. And he's just going. He's just telling them. He's not losing any steam. And this was not like in our day and time where if you missed the message, you could get the podcast or something like that. You had to get it. And he said, we're leaving tomorrow. We've got to head out. And so you're going to get the full download right now. All of it's coming right now. So he talked until midnight. And how many of y'all were here back a few years ago? This is, Pastor Will, myself, Mike, Thomas, some other folks that speak here, Lacey. We speak a while, but some of y'all don't remember Pastor Rudy. Y'all remember Pastor Rudy? That guy was Paul in this one aspect right here. One time we had multiple services back in our other, when our church used to be only in that other building. And he was here. And one time he was preaching that first service, and his sermon was so long that it went through that gap between the services. And people were filling up the foyer out there. He just kept on preaching. And I don't know if I wasn't here that day. I just heard about it after the fact. I don't know if somebody got a tranquilizer dart or how y'all got him off that stage. But Paul preached till midnight. And I want Pastor Rudy to come back. We were talking about that today. I'd love for him to come back and speak to us. Would y'all be up for that? Yeah. Just bring a pillow and a sandwich or something and be ready. Because this is what could happen. Verse 8, the upstairs room where we met was lighted with many flickering lamps. They had a mood going, you know. As Paul spoke on and on, a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill became very drowsy. And finally, he fell sound asleep and dropped 3 stories to his death. Oh, see, now you're feeling sorry for him. They are snickering, but he fell 3 stories to his death below. And without missing a beat, Paul went down, bent over him, took him up into his arms. "Don't worry," he said. "He's alive." Then they all went back upstairs, shared in the Lord's Supper, and ate together. And guess what Paul did? He kept on talking to them until dawn. And then he left. Some of them were like, "Oh, he's alive. Yeah, okay, God did a miracle. We're going to head on out." No, Paul just kept on going until dawn. Then he left. Meanwhile, the young man was taken home alive and well, and everyone was greatly relieved. And so I want to talk to you about this. There's several things that pop out to me as I read that story. And I want to talk about, we are the fortunate ones. The name Eutychus, this young man's name was Eutychus in the Greek. That means fortunate one. The one that has found fortune. And another way of saying it is the recipient of great grace of God, the fortunate ones. And that's really the main point I want to make today, is that we are the fortunate ones. If you're sitting at a service on a first Wednesday night in this beautifully padded chair with the temperature and the lighting and this amazing worship band and communion, and you've got a transportation to get here, and you've got a warm bed and a warm shower waiting for you, and you're going to eat something today. Some of y'all been eating a lot today, but anyway, you and I are the fortunate ones. We're fortunate. We're the fortunate ones. We're the recipient of great grace, great mercy. We are the fortunate ones. We are privileged ones. We have to live our life that way. We need to be aware of how blessed we really are. And I think they passed out some of these sermon notes. I want to encourage you. I'm going to give you some of these lessons that I got out of this tonight. I want you to write these down because I want you to recognize your fortune. I know some of you are focused so much on those things you don't have, but it's time to think about the fortune that we do. We are the fortunate ones. Amen? How many love sleeping? Yes. Yeah, you love to sleep. There's nothing like going to a good nap, a good night's sleep. Just sleeping in late. How many of y'all like to sleep in? Yeah, where's Jude? Where is he? I'm going to pick on him. Okay, he's talking to his friends. All right, son, you need to pay attention to your father while I'm speaking. All right? I know what y'all are doing back there. Jude'll sleep till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I gotta go in there, son. Wake up, wake up. The day is almost. There's some sermon notes. Y'all want to take some sermon notes? Sleeping's awesome. How about taking a picture of someone else that's sleeping? Isn't that almost as equally awesome? There's nothing quite like taking a picture of someone that's sleeping. Mouth open, drool coming out. There's nothing quite as embarrassing as your picture being taken while you're sleeping. It's fun to take someone else's picture, but I have posted a few pictures of other people, family members sleeping, and I was criticized, I was ridiculed, I was so almost cast out of the family because I had posted someone. But she posted one of me the other day. I was trying to take a nap, and she busts in the door, and I was trying to take a nap, and so anyway, she comes in. She's like, "Hey, I want to take a picture of you sleeping." So I was acting like I was sleeping, and she was smiling, and I looked. I mean, there's no way it looked good while you're sleeping, you know. So I said, "Let's take that again," and I'm gonna, you know, like try to really look lean and like a, you know. Nice sleep. Anyway, falling asleep is good. Falling asleep is healthy. We all need to sleep. We all need to rest at night. But sleeping at the wrong time or the wrong place is not good. It's not good to fall asleep at the wrong time, at the wrong place, at the wrong season. It can be dangerous. And that's what happened to Eutychus. He fell asleep at the wrong time, when he should have been engaged with probably the greatest apostle, the one that wrote the majority of the New Testament. He was not reading a book, reading a letter, seeing him on TV. He was in person with Paul, and he falls asleep in the middle of this amazing sermon, albeit a long sermon, but it was this amazing apostle Paul. So here's some lessons I grabbed out of this. The first one is this. This young man had a great opportunity to sit under Paul, but chose to sit over a ledge. Instead of sitting under Paul, he chose to sit over a ledge. I know that's a very long point. Some of you are trying to figure out how to write that down. Maybe it's just this. Instead of sitting under Paul as a student, he chose to sit over a ledge at a distance, wasting this opportunity. And as I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to you as a Eutychus here today, the fortunate one today. Don't choose to sit on the ledge of life. If you ever get the chance, and hopefully there's some word that comes forth from this pulpit, and from your small groups and from your interaction with other people, glean from those people. Ask questions. Listen to them instead of always talking or always choosing to separate and to do your own thing. So we get distracted. We start getting off on a daze. And it's almost like Eutychus was keeping his options open. He's hanging out at the... So I want you to picture this room that they were in. Obviously, it was an upper room, three stories up. And Paul's sitting there. They got the lights going, the lamps going. They got the other leaders of the church gathered around the feet. There's another passage in Acts that talks about being at the feet of Gamaliel. Just at the feet, being an apprentice, learning, engaged, listening, taking notes, hungry. And then you've got Eutychus that is checking out his other options. He's on the ledge of the window. Instead of choosing to engage with Paul, he's looking out. It'd be like pick me going to the airport to pick up T.D. Jakes. And from the airport to the hotel, I'm just telling him all about my life and all about Promised Land. And I'm just blabbing. I'm just going. And that actually happened to me one time, not with T.D. Jakes, but I picked up another pastor named Tudor Bismarck from, some of y'all may have heard of him. He spoke at our church one time, and I was the one that's supposed to go pick him up from the hotel and bring him to the church. And I was a nervous wreck for one thing, because I was about 20 years old, and this guy's a prophet. I mean, he would just read your mail. I was so nervous, like he's gonna start telling me about all my sins that I committed. You know, so I was just listening, you know, asking him little questions. But when you're in the presence of someone else, it's so important to use both of your ears and quit using your mouth so much. Listen to what these other people have to do. Choose to sit under other people. Choose to listen to other mentors and listen to what they have to say. That's this one thing I get. Then he chose, think about the window as ventilation. This is number two. Instead of choosing revelation, he chose ventilation. Instead of listening to what the man of God had to say, and we don't know exactly what Paul was teaching, but instead of diving into the content and the message of what Paul had to say, he chose the window. He chose the ventilation. Let's just say that is a type and shadow or an example of how so many of people in modern times would choose, instead of getting under and submitting and tapping into the revelation of a leader. Students, those of you that are engaged with student ministry, you know, listening to your pastors, getting engaged with your parents, getting engaged with your teachers at school. And I know they are mean and they don't like you and they're trying to fail you and your parents don't understand. They've never been your age. They don't know anything. But if you would just get beyond, I'm not just talking to them. I'm talking to everybody in here. Everybody in here can learn from other people, get revelation from other people instead of the ventilation. Not taking a no well. When it's getting hot, when the message is hot, when the message is difficult to listen to, instead of receiving that revelation and receiving that and dealing with that conviction and processing it and allowing God to change your heart, instead you choose the comfort of the window where there's the cool breeze and you can step outside of the heat. Y'all get what I'm trying to say? You step outside of the heat of the no, and you're always looking for a yes. And if this mentor is not telling you, or this pastor, or this church, or whatever, is not telling you something that you want to hear, you drift to the next thing. And the Bible talks about people with itchy ears. You're trying to get somebody to just scratch you just the right place. And if you can't find a pastor to do that, you're going to hop from one place to the other. And there's nothing wrong with venting. Let's say you do need to get something off your chest, but you can vent to the wrong person. You always need to vent up to a leader. You never want to vent down to other church members, to other people. You can always come up. When people come to me and they say, "Oh, I'm just gossiping. Oh, I'm just," I said, "No, you're not. You're coming to me. I'm the pastor. You're not gossiping to me. This is a safe place. You need to talk to me. You need to talk to someone and get it off your chest." Now, if you were to take that information and go start spreading it around to everybody else in the church or your neighbors or gossiping that way, yes, that's venting in the wrong direction. Y'all still with me this morning? All right, that was number two. Then they all kind of relate to one another, but number three is he just began to lose focus. And when sleep hits you, you know, you start getting that woozy, nodding off phase, and you start fighting it. I love watching the little videos of the little kids who are trying to fight sleep, and, you know, they end up, their face falls into their food, and they're getting into that losing focus, checking out. And I want to speak to some Eutychuses up in the church tonight that spiritually might be getting a little woozy, might be losing your focus a little bit and checking out. Why is he talking so long? Why is he teaching us in this way? This is what Eutychus is thinking about Paul. Why is he taking so long? You know, we don't like waiting. We don't want long processes to happen. We don't like seasons of no action. We always want progress. We want to grow all the time. And we don't like pruning. We don't like waiting. We don't like long sermons. We, you know, our generation is such a quick generation that we can often lose focus. And so I'm here to just wake you up a little bit tonight and just kind of stir the pot a little bit and say, if your gaze doesn't get back on the main thing, you might find yourself losing focus, falling asleep, falling out of the window, and being gone. So he could have been looking inside. He could have been focused on Paul. He could have been fighting that feeling. And so instead, he drops out of sight. He's gone. He's out of the window. He's out of the picture. There's people that are not here tonight because they've fallen out of the window. Let's just make it plain and simple. I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. But if there's anybody here tonight that's on the ledge, I want you to come in closer. Come in closer. That's why I love it when people sign up for Disciple Weekend without even knowing what it is. That's the people that are getting in close. I want to get in close. If there's a new thing, I want to be a part of it. I want to get in on it. If I'm able to give financially, I want to do it. If I can serve, I want to do it. I want to get in. I want to focus on what's happening here. I don't want to lose that focus. And so there's some people that have fallen out the window, and some of you know it. You've missed them. And so maybe it's time for you to go check on them. See if there's any resuscitation that needs to happen. Isolation eventually leads to the need for resuscitation. So if you're isolated, and you're out on the ledge, and you're dozing off, eventually you're going to need some resuscitation. And so maybe there's some people you know that have fallen out of the window, and we need to go run to them. Oh, they're not dead. They're still alive. We thought they were dead, but come on back upstairs, man. Come on, man. I know he's talking a long time. I know he's preaching a long time, but come on back. Come on back up here. There's some people that you don't even realize have fallen out the window because they kind of been sleeping for so long, you forgot they were even over there. Right? And that when people do fall out the window sometimes, I'm talking figuratively here, when they fall out the window and they get offended that nobody went and checked on them. And we're like, you've been sitting in the window sleeping for 6 months, man. And now all of a sudden you want us to be surprised that you fell out the window? Come on, this is First Wednesday. We're not gonna be. All right, these last three are real quick. Ledges and edges can be lethal. So it doesn't matter the person, it didn't really matter Eutychus, it mattered where he was. So you might think that you're super spiritual. It doesn't matter. If you're near the ledge, you can fall off. So it doesn't matter if you're a pastor, if you're an elder. No one is beyond the risk of falling to temptation. No one is beyond the risk of falling asleep. And I don't know if you have realized this, but when you do get woken up, when you do find out that you have been sleeping, sometimes you don't even realize it. Because it's such a gradual process. And that's when you do that little bounce back. If y'all know what I'm talking about. And, I didn't even realize it. And so that happens spiritually sometimes. So don't take for granted your position, how long you've been at church, how much of the Bible you know, how much you serve, all that stuff. Ledges and edges are lethal no matter who you are. So warn people if you see them near the ledge. Find out how you can get your own red flags. we talk about guardrails all the time at this church and boundaries in this church. If you don't have guardrails and boundaries, you're going to find yourself on the ledge, on the edge. That's dangerous. You want to be able to have warning signs before you ever get to that outside edge. The fifth thing is that Paul embraced him, and this is something that's really, really special. Paul embraced Eutychus. Paul had a lot going on. Paul was in point, in the middle of point 75, you know, of his sermon. He's deeply spiritual. He's got the flow going. The candles are going. He's just in the flow. Everything's going well. And then someone is not paying attention, and he could have said, "Well, fine, you know, fall away. Doesn't matter." But he runs to him. He does respond to him, and he's a little late to the scene, possibly because he's dead already. But how many know that the grace of God can go to dead people too? The grace of God can go to people who've fallen away. And so I was just talking to some people today about someone, or not today, but a couple of days ago, about someone that we have realized that has kind of fallen out of the window. And I told them, we're going to run to that person. We're going to talk to them. We're gonna pray for them. And we're going to respond just like Paul did. We're going to embrace this person. And then basically it's up to them if they want to come back upstairs or if they want to stay downstairs. It's up to Eutychus. And Eutychus went back upstairs. It's a beautiful story of reconciliation. And it's possible that some of the people were bitter and complaining. But the grace of Jesus is so amazing, and Paul demonstrates that. He doesn't condemn them, him. He doesn't, you know, okay, well, I want to point out all the errors of Eutychus, and he goes right back into his message. They envelop him. The grace of God welcomes him back, and that's amazing. And then the last thing that I get out of this story is that it's not proven here, but I'm pretty sure that Eutychus probably never sat on a window ledge again. Right? People are like, "Eutychus, come here. Check out this view." No, it's all right, man. I'll see it from right here. It's good. Looks good, man. We're the fortunate ones. We are the fortunate ones. Not only do we have the blessings of this temporal life, the fact that we have clothes to wear that are relatively new and that fit and they're comfortable and stylish, and all the things I talked about earlier, the nutrition and the medical, you know, we call 911, medical team will be here in just a few minutes, take care of us. We can pay them later. Other countries don't have that. You got to pay up front. They may never show up. They may never have that. They don't have the kind of nutrition, the kind of clothing, the kind of blessing. We're the fortunate ones. We're sitting in here and we're complaining about all this kind of stuff that we have with our government and all this kind of thing with education and finances, and we complain about all that, but I want us to stop just for a moment and know that we are the Eutychuses. We are the fortunate ones, and I want us all to just take an analysis of where we're sitting. Spiritually, take an analysis of where you're sitting in your spirit life. Are you next to the window? Are you on the ledge? Are you drifting off? Are you losing focus? Are you getting drowsy? Or are you at the feet of the church of Jesus? Are you diving in? Are you going all the way? Because there's going to be a day when you're challenged. Because all those guys left that upper room, and it says the next morning that they left to the next place. And man, if you keep on reading the next 8 chapters of the book of Acts, it wasn't an easy path. There were shipwrecks and snake bites and people hunting them down to kill them, and Caesar was ready to cast judgment on Paul, and I mean, all this stuff. So if you think you're going to survive outside of the upper room just by sitting on the ledge, that's never going to happen. The state of America that we're living in, it may not get better. Do y'all realize that? I know we all want this perfect, pristine nation to live, to be perfect and holy, and the president to be a certain character, and all of the judges and all that. We all have a vision of how we want our nation to be. And someday there will be a perfect, perfect world that we're all living in. But the Bible's very clear, there's going to be some persecution and some trouble in the last days. There's going to be a great outpouring of His Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders in the last day. But there's going to be some difficult times in the last days. And so if you're going to survive the difficult times of the last days, you better be at the feet of the pastor, at the feet of the house of God, ready, willing, and able, feeding off of the bread of life, serving the bread of life to others, and engaged in this whole church life process. I want to encourage you to get involved with that. If you haven't been to 101 yet, go to 101. If you haven't been to 201, go to 201, 301. If going to church for you is kind of a random thing, or just a whenever you feel like it kind of thing, change that. Make it a clockwork thing. Make it a habit. Make it a household value, a rule. We're going to be a part of the house of God. We're going to get as far from the edge and the ledge as we can. We're going to get close to the family, to where the bread is being broken and the word's being shared, and to where people are being helped. The hurting is finding salvation and finding sustenance for their physical bodies and their spiritual bodies. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me right now? Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Wherever you are, some of you are dozing off on the ledge. Some of you are at the feet of Paul. Some of you are in the middle. Some of you are dead. Somebody drug you to church tonight, hoping to breathe some life into you. Wherever you are, let's go to God right now. And I'm guaranteeing you right now, whoever you are and wherever you are in this spectrum of life, Jesus Christ is ready, willing, and able right now to move you forward with the next step of faith and your journey with Him right now. Let's just go to God right now in your own words, and let's just say something like, Jesus, I'm ready to go on to that next step with you, God. I'm ready to keep on keeping on, Lord. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to be losing my focus. I don't want to be drowsy. I don't want to be self-centered. I don't want to be trying to escape the heat and getting the freedom of selfishness and free will. Lord, I want to be submitted to you completely. Would you tell God that right now? In the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you and ask for forgiveness. Lord, please forgive us for the things, the difficulty in our life where we've made mistakes and had errors in our life. God, forgive us. Forgive us, God. Cleanse us. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord Jesus. We want to focus in on you. We're ready to listen. Our ears are open. Our hearts are open. Our brains are open. Our spirit is ready. Our bodies are ready. As we took communion today, we recentered our life around you, Jesus, and we want to keep it that way. We want to be around you, God. I want us to spend about 30 seconds to a minute right now praying for people that you know are not here tonight, but you know that they're either dozing off, asleep, or they've already fallen out the window. Would you just pray for them right now? A selfless prayer for someone else that you know is not here. You can call their name out, you can think about it, you can meditate, but let's intercede. Let's stand in the gap for other people right now that you know should be here tonight or could be here tonight, but they have chosen other things to put in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we come to you right now. We pray for our loved ones, our friends, our family members, our coworkers. God, people that have served in ministry with us and we haven't seen them in a month. We haven't seen them in a couple months. They're not responding to text messages. They're not connected to the family, to the body, Lord. We pray for them, God. Give us the words to say. Lord, let us know when to say something. Let us know when to not say something. God, we stand in the gap in the space between them and you right now. We take you by one hand, we take them by the other hand, and we bring you together, God. We pray for them. We intercede for them tonight, God, and we pray that your will be done and that the fire will be kindled again in their hearts and that their faith will begin to breathe new life. God, those that have fallen away and are hurting and are not with us, God, we pray that they will find healing. They will find freedom. They'll find peace. They'll find forgiveness. They'll find second chance. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Let's clap our hands right now as a symbol, as a sign, celebration. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you awake? You ready? Amen. Amen. Send a loving text, a loving email, a hug. When you see somebody at church on Sunday, listen to this. This is important. This is a little freebie at the end, a little nugget. When you see somebody at church that you haven't seen in a while, don't ask them where they've been. Okay? I'm serious. Don't ask them where they've been. You know where they've been. They know where they've been. Hug them. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Yeah. Yeah. Show your love. We're not going to condemn them. We're going to welcome them. We're excited about them being back. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. You're dismissed. See you Sunday. High priest, and I am the Christ. I am the resurrection.